Let us take a moment to pray for our church and for the reception that we have in our hearts to hear the Word of God. Let us pray. O Lord, mighty God, take our ears to listen to the Word that You speak. Take our minds to meditate on the voice as You breathe life to us. Take our hearts to be touched by the grace of who You are and what You share. Take our lives and our things to accomplish Your ministry and mission, to bring good news to the poor in spirit, the poor in resources, the poor in power, and those that are held by sin and evil. May Your Word in Jesus Christ speak grace to us and call us to new life. Amen. Every good leader needs a staff. The Lord did say to Moses, "What is that in your hand?" And Moses, holding a shepherd's staff, says, "A staff, Lord." God said, "Throw it on the ground." A little bit later in that conversation that went on quite a while, Moses told God that he had never been eloquent in his life. He was slow of speech and slow of tongue. "And please send somebody else to be your spokesperson, God." In other words, Moses was not responding to the call of God to lead God's people out of Egypt and into freedom. But God would take what Moses had, his staff, his abilities, and his disability in his speech, and He would use those in transformational ways to accomplish the leadership that God had called him to undertake. My oldest daughter, Tamara, is a very artistic person. If you see her, she's a rather delicate, tall frame with long, curly hair, naturally curly. She is the kind of person that loves music and art, and she does aesthetic kinds of things in her life today. However, in high school, they gave her a field hockey stick. And this gentle, kind artistry of a person became a person with a big stick. And she played the part well on the field hockey team as a defensive sweeper. In fact, the other team would often be heard whispering before the game, "Do you see that really tall woman over there? Well, she's the one that's going to protect the goal." And they were frightened. Now, the coach knew that she was really quite good with the stick, and she would not let any ball get to the goal if she had a shot at it. But she also noticed that Tamara was not particularly good at running. So the coach came to her not too long in her commitment to the team and said, "You are an asset to this team. You are a leader in the team, but I need to teach you how to run." And by her senior year, she was one of the fastest people on the team. The coach took her disability and turned it into an ability and magnified the use of her use of the stick. In her senior year, her team almost beat the state champions by holding them to only one goal. God uses what we have and transforms what we don't think is well in our life. This whole image of the shepherd and the staff goes all the way back to the primeval part of our beginnings and the scriptures. Psalm 23 reminds us, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for His name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You, God, are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me." God is committed to each one of us, as exemplified in the life of Moses, to lead His people out of difficulty and into freedom, freedom of soul and freedom of place. Not only does God lead us beside the still waters and to lie down in green pastures, but God works with each of us to become leaders who would help others do the same. What is that staff, Moses? And for what purpose will God use it? It is important that in all of our calls to leadership, we do not forget the core purpose of God. All leadership that God calls reenacts and reinforces the call that Moses had, where God said to Moses, I observe the misery of my people. I've heard the cry of their oppression. I know their suffering. I have come down to deliver them. And I send you to confront Pharaoh and to bring them out of Egypt. God calls leaders to go, to confront, to deliver, to empower, and to give abundance of life, because this is the very nature of God. God invites us in leadership into a partnership with God's leadership. God's leadership, as much as we like to make it otherwise, is not about making money. It's not about growing organizations. It's not about making the stock market work. It is not about gaining more power and control. It is not about winning or success or being on top or telling people what to do. The core of God's call to leadership is about redeeming people that are in trouble. God's call to leadership is about naming the evil and freeing people from the evil and sin in their lives. Jayakumar Christian, in his book, God of the Empty-Handed, as a world vision leader in India, argues the point that God stands on the side of the empty-handed, and when he calls leaders to deliver leadership in God's name, it is to stand with those people who do not have enough and cannot deliver themselves. He gives the example of the Harijan people near Madras, India. Skilled laborers of the field, but they've never had their own land. And the onslaught of suburban Madras begins to take over the lands that they had farmed for centuries. And he says, alienated from the land they belong to, today their agricultural tools lie silent in the dark corners of their houses, reminding them that they have become tools in the hands of the urban elite. The poor are empty-handed. They do not have the staff. They do not have the people or the support. They are dispossessed by injustice and indifference, dependent, oppressed, and powerless. They are enslaved in patterns of human behavior that are not what God intends. Leadership from God is about the call to respond to that initiative that Moses was called to take. But we will resist. I think we resist because the call of God is so much bigger than we feel or are. And in fact, I don't believe God really wants people who think they're big enough for the call. That's a sign of arrogance. God actually wants those who are humble enough to recognize they can't measure up to what God expects. When Moses is given the call, he asks the questions, who am I? And God says, I will be with you. Who are you? I am who I am, God says. And what if they don't listen to me? Well, what is that in your hand, Moses? It's a staff. God shows Moses that he will use that staff to gain the attention of the people so they will listen to him. But Moses goes on to say, but I, Lord, am not eloquent enough. You're looking for a spokesperson who can articulate well who you are and what you want. I'm not it. Please send somebody else. Do you have in your life those moments where you hear God's call and all you have is a staff, an inadequate sense of who you are and what you have? Ken Miedema, in the song that's going to be sung later on in worship today, gives this example and preaches a sermon about Moses in his text. He has Moses not being able to share his staff because Moses is afraid that God would actually use him. Running scared of what God's going to do? Running scared he's going to get hold of you? Moses crying, "Please, God, don't take my rod away. My rod is my security." But when Moses gives up the rod of his own, it becomes, as Exodus points out, the rod of God. What do you have in your hand? When you give it to God, it becomes God's tool in your life and the life of others. As Ken Miedema tells his own story, he says, "As a kid, I was not accepted, and I spent a lot of time by myself because he was born blind. Because I lived with some degree of being different all my life, I have sympathy for people who have been disenfranchised, whether they are disabled or politically oppressed. I believe I'm called to stand with them and to speak good news to them." And so what did he have in his life that he could give? He didn't have sight, but he did have the ability that he had learned over a few years to play the piano and sing. And early in his life, when he was in his vocation as music therapist, he would take time out to work with youth who were troubled and had no sense of power in their lives, and he would write personal songs for them. What is that in your hand, Ken? It's a piano. And what about your voice? But Lord, I can't see. God uses that piano and that voice today at the age of 65 and has touched millions of people. God does not punish our resistance. When we say we do not have adequate resources or adequate voice for what God is calling us to do, God does not do what Pharaoh would do, get upset and abusive. God does not coerce or manipulate Moses. God does not intimidate or threaten him. He simply asks him questions to draw Moses out into commitment. God does get angry because Moses seems to never give up of his resistance. I think many of us can identify with that. Lord, you really don't want me to go and do that. That's too threatening, it's too demanding, it's too hard, it's too painful, and God patiently keeps working with us to call us ahead. And not just for others' good, but for our good as well. God adjusts to the real person with real concerns, with real reservations, with real self-perceptions. God works with you as you really are, not as God wants you to be. But the good news is God does not leave you there. Because Moses, after the conversation, is willing to go. Moses' rod becomes the rod of God. Moses' voice is strengthened, and the gift of Aaron as his staff spokesperson is no longer needed after a while. Aaron fades into the pack as Moses becomes articulate and responsible before God. God said to Moses, "What is that in your hand?" "It's only a staff, Lord. It's a staff that has led hundreds of sheep to be turned into a scepter that will lead thousands of people. It's a rod that used to guide sheep and keep them out of trouble. It will become a staff that will open the way for people in the midst of their most difficult times. It's a staff used as a gate to protect the sheep. That staff will become an opportunity to protect God's people." What is that in your hand? A baton to conduct an orchestra? It can be used to bring music into the lives of people who are starved for art and poor of music. What is that in your hand? A law journal? It can be used to help people who have no ability to help themselves because they don't know the law and they need someone to come alongside of them. What is that in your hand? A set of wood carving tools? You can use them to teach others who can use wood carving as a profession. What is that in your hand? A chalk for a teacher? God can use that to help you teach the ignorant not only to learn, but how to teach others. What is that in your hand, a violin or a set of drums? God can use you, your ability in music, to bring other people to a better place with a sense of hope and celebration. What is that in your hand, a basketball? God can be an instrument of helping kids to learn discipline and teamwork, leadership when they have very few options other than the basketball. What is that in your hand, a gavel? God can turn that into an opportunity for justice and fairness. What do you have in your hand today? A computer, a piano, a knitting needle, an MBA, a golf club, scissors, a cell phone? The point of this is that God can take whatever you have and use it for the greatest purpose of what God wants to do in this world. However, God calls you to throw it down, to give it up. And when you pick it up again, it becomes God's tool and not your own. My grandfather, Parkhurst, my mom's father, was the senior manager of a ranch in Tehachapi, California. I can still remember the days when he would invite me to go out and milk the cow with him. I had a certain fear of being around cows. But he would take his milking bucket and he would take his stool and he would invite me to come and stand with him and to learn how to speak to Bessie the cow while he was milking the cow, because Bessie was a little irritable if you didn't milk her properly. And while he was milking the cow, he would teach me about kindness, about wisdom, about things that he understood, but mostly about love. What is that in your hand, grandparent or parent? It's a tool for you to bring your children and your grandchildren along so that they are liberated from fear and can embrace God's love. In my office today, you will find a steel blue blanket. It was hand-knit by a group of people who met together for prayer. While they were praying together, they discovered they had in common the desire to knit. And so they learned to take their knitting needles and to pray together and knit prayer shawls. And they gave me a prayer shawl to remind me that they would be praying for me every day from that time on. What is that in your hand? My dad, his dream of life was to own a machine production company to be able to make his own products. And God gave him the opportunity to see that vision experienced. But my dad, working so hard, almost worked himself into the ground, and God spoke to him one day and said, "Give this business to me. Throw it down. But Lord, I need to work hard to make it happen." And God said, "I want to use it for my purposes, not your purposes. If you do what I've called you to do and care for people and use it as a place of ministry, then I will take care of the business." And so I would watch my father over the years of growing up in that business take time out in the middle of the day in the midst of heavy production when someone would walk in the office, and he would take time out to listen to their concerns and pray with them while I was running the machinery. What is that in your hand? It may be the English language, as one of our members is currently teaching English language as a second language. I encourage you today, in the midst of your resistance, give God what you have and who you are. God wants your ability and your staff, your skills, and God will take the disability that you believe you have in whatever thing, anything in your life that is not going well or does not measure up according to your own standards, and God will transform that for good. It is the ability and the use of the staff and God's transformation ability to use Moses' disability in voice that makes it all happen. When I was studying voice in my collegiate years and my graduate years, someone told me that I reached a point where I needed a better coach. So God gave me a Metropolitan Opera coach to be with me as I learned to sing better. She said, you know, you have a great instrument there, but you are misplacing your high notes. You will never experience everything that you could do in your high notes unless you let go and give it up. You must lighten up rather than trying to take control and make it happen. Well, over a period of time, the coach helped me to discover the true freedom and size of my voice. In your life, God will give you the people to come alongside of you to give you the help you need so that you can use the thing that's in your hand and you can use the thing that you believe is not usable. Jesus' primary announcement of his whole ministry was, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind and let the oppressed go free." All leadership, all servant leadership, all of us today are called to follow Jesus in this ministry. He frees us from sin to do it, and he gives us the power to be able to participate, like Moses, in the practice of freeing people. Who is our shepherd? It is Jesus, the good shepherd, who has the right kind of staff. And he said, "I am the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I lay down my life in order to take it up again." Jesus threw his life down, and then God picked it up, and his life stands forever. And that frees us to throw our tools and our life down and have God pick it up and use it for greatness. Let us pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, give us the courage to let go of those things to which we are attached, to whom we are attached. Help us to see the instruments that you have trained us to use as tools in your hand. May the grace, mercy, and love of Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit make us to be a community of leadership where we serve the Most High God to bring good news to the poor and to release people from captivity. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.